Chapter 6, Goodness and Love of God. Elihu, in admonishing Job and instructing him in the knowledge of God, said, "With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice." Job 37, verses 22 and 23. We have tried a little to consider his justice and righteousness, and how little it is that we can know of him who is past finding out. But we wish now to take a different view of his wonderful and divine character and nature, namely his love and goodness. At the outset, we may say that God is not only good, but goodness itself, the quintessence of it. And not only is he loving, but he is love itself. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 John 4, verse 16. Hence, this love is a great and unfathomable deep. It passeth knowledge, and has a breadth and length and depth and height, of which we can only comprehend a little. Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19. It is a mighty and boundless ocean, and the outflowing of it a river that could not be passed over. Waters to swim in. Ezekiel 47, verses 4 and 5. The Lord is good in himself, as the scriptures proclaim again and again. This was a constant refrain in the worship and praises of the children of Israel. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 106, 107, and 136 begin with it, and Psalm 118 begins and ends with it. Hence, at the dedication of the temple, when Solomon had made an end of praying, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifices, the children of Israel bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3. Also, after the captivity, when they set the altar again on his bases and relaid the foundation of the house of the Lord, they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. Ezra 3, verse 11. Moreover, God alone is good in himself. So Christ said to the young man who called him good, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Matthew 19, verse 17. It is true that before the fall of Adam, all the works of creation were good, and man as the chief of them on the earth was very good. Genesis 1, verse 31. But this was a relative goodness, which he received from his Creator, the fountain of all goodness, and at the fall he lost his goodness, so that now there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Psalm 14, verses 1 and 3. The goodness of the Lord is everlasting, as the psalmist reminds the mighty man in his mischievous way. "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man?" The goodness of God endureth continually. Psalm 52, verse 11. He testifies also of the greatness of it. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Psalm 31, verse 19. Isaiah also celebrates his great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Isaiah 63, verse 7. Zechariah, too, utters his exclamation at the consideration of it. How great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Zechariah 9, verse 17. Then the Apostle Paul sums it all up into riches of goodness. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Romans 2, verse 4. This goodness of God is also satisfying, as he says, My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Jeremiah 31, verse 14. Again, the goodness of the Lord is manifested in his goodwill, called the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, which, of course, has reference to the appearance of God to Moses in the bush that burned with fire but was not consumed. This was also the tidings of the heavenly host at the birth of Jesus, when they praised God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke 2, verse 14. It is in his good pleasure. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, verse 32. And this is called the good pleasure of his goodness. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. It is in his good hand. So Ezra found when he returned from Babylon and came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Ezra 7, verse 9. And Nehemiah also. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Nehemiah 2, verse 8. His word is good, and his law holy, just, and good, because it proceeds from a good God. After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. The works of the Lord also evidence his goodness. Hence it is that the earth is full of goodness of the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 5. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. So he crowns the year with his goodness. Psalm 65, verse 11. This goodness is equally possessed by the three persons in the glorious Trinity. Hence, Christ was rightly addressed as good master, although he showed to the young man that this meant that he was God as well as man. And he says of himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11. The Spirit also is good. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. Nehemiah 9, verse 20. Thy spirit is good. Psalm 143, verse 10. Hence, the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Galatians 5, verse 22. What shall we say of the love of God? One thing that may be said is that it has an object. The love of God is set upon certain objects. It was so under the Old Testament, when his love was specially set on the children of Israel. The Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people. Deuteronomy 10, verse 15. But Israel of old were typical of the true people of God in all ages. The election of grace, upon whom the love of God was set from everlasting. There is a solemn line of demarcation running through the Scriptures between those who are the objects of the electing love of God and those who are not. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9, verse 13. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but not to Cain. Genesis 4, verse 4. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, verse 8. And was saved in the ark with his family, while the rest were drowned. Abram was called alone, Isaiah 51, verse 2, out of an idolatrous people, while others were left. And so, through all the scriptures, it is manifest that the love of God is set upon his people. This love of God is everlasting, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31, verse 3. It is sovereign. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, Deuteronomy 7, verse 8. It is a free love. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, Hosea 14, verse 4. It is unchangeable. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, John 13, verse 1. Nor can anyone or anything separate from it. See Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. We have said that God is love. It dwells in the Godhead and exists between the persons of the Trinity themselves, and is exercised by each of them towards the people of God. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. John 3, verse 35. The Father's love to his people is seen in his choosing them from everlasting. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. The love of the Son is manifested in his great work of redemption, taking our nature and laying down his life a sacrifice for sin. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor, Ephesians 5, verse 2. The love of the Spirit is shown in his calling, regenerating and sanctifying every elect vessel of mercy. The goodness of God, as we may be led to consider it, should lead us to repentance. If, by the teaching of the Spirit, we have a right view of it, we shall feel how bad we are, and shall agree with the testimony of God concerning all the children of men, that there is none good, no, not one. We shall realize our sinful condition, both by nature and practice. And as we see this, and also the goodness of God in Christ, we shall be humbled and softened in our spirit, and brought to repent of our sins, to mourn over and confess them, and to entreat the Lord to have mercy upon us for Christ's sake. His goodness in temporal things also will at times overwhelm us and melt our hearts, that he should bestow such blessings upon such unworthy creatures. Oh, but the love of God, what a great truth is this, that he should out of that love send his own beloved and only begotten Son to be made man, that he might be a suitable and sufficient Savior, should not spare his own Son when the iniquities of his people were laid upon him, but delivered him up to those awful sufferings and the death of the cross, that poor sinners might have hope. If this be shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, it will constrain us to love him in return, and seek to live to him that died for us and rose again. As we realize that this love is set upon certain persons, chosen to be made partakers of it, Oh, how it will make us long and seek to be found amongst them. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, will be our earnest prayer. We shall desire this people to be our people, and their God our God, as Ruth said to Naomi. We shall want the Spirit to witness with our spirit that we are the Lord's, that we are united to Christ as members of his body, who is the head, that we are sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, that we are living branches in the true and living vine, and lively stones built upon him as the great foundation. One way in which the Lord manifests his love to his own children is in chastening them for their sins, and that for their profit. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hebrews 12, verse 6. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Revelations 3, verse 19. To be without this is to be bastards and not sons. What a mercy, then, if we are not left to go on in our sins, but are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the wicked. This is an outcome of his love, that he will not allow us to destroy ourselves, but will teach us to profit, and not leave us altogether unpunished.